joining Rosie and Jennifer Romero at our house, Rosie on the House. Sharing a little bit about what each of us are reading. And I wanted to take a minute. We lost, Arizona lost a dear friend and a great leader yesterday when we lost Miss Rose Mofford. We'd bump into each other every once in a while over at Sierra Bonita. And she was always asking me, was I named after her? But, you know, she had an interesting trail to the governor's office, being born in Globe from immigrants from Eastern Europe. From Eastern Europe to Globe. I don't know what that trail looks like, right? But we had a governor, Raul Castro, which, by the way, I just finished reading his biography in the beginning of the summer, and I can't remember the name of it. It was something like something with angels in the name. Angels, as angels are my witness or something like that. But there's a man who was actually, family was born south of the United States border, moved to the Douglas area, and he rose to become governor. Then he's appointed ambassador to Argentina. At that point, Secretary of State Wesley Bolin then moves up to the governorship because Arizona has no lieutenant governor, so the Secretary of State assumes that position. And Wesley Bolin then takes a look at Rose Mofford, who's serving down in the Capitol building, and appoints her to serve out the rest of his term as Secretary of State. And then Bolin dies in 1978, and Mofford was to assume, at that point, the governorship. But because she was not an elected Secretary of State, she had been an appointed Secretary of State, there were some complications. So she then continued running for Secretary of State, won it three terms in a row. Governor Ev Meekum gets impeached in 1988. You remember that,
oh, yeah.
Right? And at that point, Rose is duly elected Secretary of State and takes the governor's office for, I think, 3 years, and never does run for the office of her own. And she was a great ambassador for the state of Arizona. Both, you know, studying her and Wesley Bolin is just a great, great historical study in mid-century Arizona history. And while I was off on that bunny trail, kind of looking up her life and whatnot, I stumbled across something that had to do with this current presidential election. And I'm not going to go.
Hang on there.
I'm not going to go political. It's just interesting. Don't ask me how I went from Rose Mofford to similar presidential elections in America's past for the GOP. But that's where I ended up. Okay.
Did you Google that?
No. I just kind of followed this little trail from one topic to the next. And it is incredibly – we have never had a presidential election like this. You can say that in 100 different ways. We've never had a wife of a past president running for office. That's never happened, okay? And we look at this Republican Party situation where a good part of the Republican Party doesn't even want their nominee to be in office. Well, that has happened before, a long time ago. Before the Republicans were Republicans, they were Whigs. And Zachary Taylor comes home from winning, as a general, comes home from winning the Mexican War. And he's a hero. And the Republicans decide, well, we can get him elected because he's popular, although the Republican Party was split evenly over the issue of slavery and expansion. So they didn't have anybody that could come in. They picked somebody that was popular. Even after the convention where Zachary Taylor is picked, they try and throw him out with someone else. But he ends up winning the election, and the poor guy dies like 17 months later.
Oh, man. and that was kind of suspicious, wasn't it?
Yeah, and nobody knew where he stood. Zachary Taylor never voted in an election in his entire life until he voted for himself as president.
Seriously?
That's
I wonder what the voting rate was back then. Certainly everybody voted.
I don't know. I have no idea. I really don't. But it was pretty interesting. He went on to win. So It's going to be interesting to see what the current situation leads to, that's for sure. It's
certainly one that will go down in the history books as well.
I was chastised not long ago about being so liberal they weren't going to listen to the show anymore. And then, like, the next week I got chastised for being so right-wing, far-off, wacko conservative they weren't going to listen to the show anymore.
That's why I don't let you talk about it. Everybody just wants to be your best friend, babe.
I try not to show my hand. You know, I try and just kind of bring it all to the surface. You know, let's look at all of it.
Yes, your committee that you formed, Save the World Committee, has really expanded your thought processes, and just you're much more willing to listen to both sides. And I think you've changed some.
I've changed a lot. And this Save the World Committee that I'm the appointed head of.
No, what do you call it?
The Benevolent Dictator.
Yeah, that's you.
I'm the Benevolent Dictator of the Save the World Committee. And we meet on a semi-regular basis, and there's about 12 of us. And we come from all walks of life. We've got financial guys. We've got developers. We've got attorneys. We've got property managers. We've got insurance folks. We've got home inspectors. And from every political party and from no political party and from every religion on the planet. There's no barriers. And there's no arguing, there's no raising your voice, and there's no being rude. And we talk about all of the issues that are on. We dissected both party platforms in our last meeting, and that was spectacular.
It's a template that should be replicated.
When we get back, we're going to be talking about harvesting